Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. My name is Apostle Lemon Overton. We have Evangelist Janet Taylor and Sister Elke Bravo on forgiveness. Evangelist Taylor, you now have the mic for 1 hour and 57 seconds, and you are on the podium.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord to our radio listening audience tonight. We are so grateful that you could tune in with us, and we just want to thank the Lord. Elke and I are excited about tonight's message. So we've already prayed about it, and we are going to get right into it. Now, this message tonight is on forgiveness. And I actually heard Elke preach this message on Resurrection Sunday. And it's such a powerful message. People came to the altar, and they got delivered. They got set free from holding on to things that they have been holding on to, things that seemed insurmountable, that, you know, like they just couldn't let it go. And so the message has been so widely well received. I have asked that Elke would join me tonight, and we're going to just go through this message. We're just going to break this down and share this message in totality, but we're going to break it down so that it is clearly understood. This is the message of forgiveness. So welcome, Elke.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being back. I want to thank Apostle Overton for the opportunity. What a blessing. And what a blessing anytime I get to share the word with my great friend and sister in the Lord, Janet Taylor. I am so blessed.
Amen, amen. Well, to God be all the glory. So,
yes.
Elkie, this message is entitled Unforgiveness. And just tell us how the Lord gave you this message. Just tell us how, you know, you received this message from the Lord.
Well, it started with my husband was going to speak at a Bible study at dinner. We have dinner and Bible study in my home every Wednesday night or Thursday
Amen.
Night. It varies. And I asked my husband, I said, would you give the message next week? And he said, yeah. He said, I feel like God is showing me I need to speak on unforgiveness. And so I just knew that it would be powerful. And some of the things he shared, it just started making me think more deeply about how unforgiveness can really hinder your prayer life and your faith. Forgiveness, it will hinder your prayers. And I just began studying it and thinking on it, and I thought, you know, unforgiveness is huge. And so once we delve into the scriptures tonight and talk about this, we'll see why it is so important that before you ever even do communion, you make sure that you have said, Lord, I forgive everybody, because we cannot afford to have any hint of unforgiveness in our heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, when we look at the cross, Elkie, we see just the opposite. Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the message of the cross is forgiveness. So would you talk about that?
Yes. Well, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15, he said, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So here Jesus is saying, it is imperative that you forgive others, because if you don't, I'm not going to forgive yours. So why would God refuse to forgive us if we don't forgive others? And I'm talking about even murder, even betrayal. You think of some of the worst things that could happen to you. Abandonment, someone kills a family member of yours, or a drunk driver hits your mother's car and it kills her, or a serial killer like Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, got a hold of one of your family members. God is even saying, even in the worst atrocity, you still have to forgive. Because when we don't forgive others, we're denying our common ground as sinners in need of God's forgiveness. And we can't have our cake and eat it too, Janet. When it comes to forgiveness, it is a two-way street. That's the whole basis for our salvation, was forgiveness. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to forgive us our sins. So before we get done tonight, we'll see why we don't have a choice but to forgive if we're going to call ourselves a Christian.
Amen. Now, in the Lord's Prayer, you mentioned Matthew 6, 14 through 15, but then the
yes.
Lord's Prayer begins in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. But in that, verse number 12, it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers. What it's saying is, as we forgive those who trespass against us, it's parallel. It's the same level. If we forgive,
yes.
then we can ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness. But if we don't, then we won't be forgiven. So the Lord's Prayer, we know, is the model prayer. And so right in the middle of that prayer, Jesus talked about forgiveness and forgiving others that our sins might be forgiven. So we do know that forgiveness is a choice. You know, a lot of people say, well, you just don't know what they did to me. You don't know what happened to me. And the answer is, you're right. I don't know what happened to you. I don't know what they did to you. But one thing I do know is that nothing has been done to you or I or anyone on this planet that was done to Jesus Christ. Nothing can compare what was done to him. So if he can forgive, then surely you and I can, Elkie.
Absolutely.
So how powerful is forgiveness, Elkie?
It is so powerful. And, you know, I want to say this before I talk about how powerful it is. Forgiveness is a choice. You have to choose to forgive. It's an act of your will. I remember there was a song, "Love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will." You know, love, one day, you know, you can love your husband or your wife. You can love them to the moon and back. But there's days where you don't love them so much. You know, you love them, but you don't like anything they're doing. But you, when you've been married for years, it's an act of your will. So, you know, it's the same thing with forgiveness. You can say, "I forgive because I will myself to forgive." But the feelings might not be there with it. The feelings of forgiveness might not yet accompany it. But I promise you, if you tell the Lord, "I will forgive because your word says so," the feelings will come in time. And I want to give an example. I came across this video the other day. Years ago, there was a serial killer who was caught and detained, and his name was Gary Ridgway, and he was known as the Green River Killer, and he sought after prostitutes and killed. He was convicted of 48 murders in cold blood. And he said, so calculated, so stoic, showing absolutely no emotion, when he was being interviewed, he says, "Well, I'm sure it's about 71 people that I actually killed, but I lost count because there were so many." He mentioned it so casual, like, "I'm going to go out and have a piece of pizza," like it meant nothing to him. Like, "You don't even have me for the other murders I've committed." Matter of fact. And so this man was being convicted. He was found guilty. He pleaded guilty. And now it was time for the sentencing. So before the judge sentenced him, there came a time for all the victims' families to come forward and look him face to face and express how they felt about what he did to their relatives. And one by one, these women were coming up to him, and they were saying, "I hate you, you SOB, for what you did to my sister. I hope you rot in hell." Some of the things were, I hope you die a horrible, horrible, painful death, and still that's not enough. I will never, ever forgive you." And they said it with such hatred and resentment in their eyes and bitterness. And that man didn't even bat an eye. It didn't even faze him what they were saying. And you want to know why? You want to know why it didn't faze him? Because those demonic spirits is what he heard all the time. He lived in that world. He lived in that world of resentment. He lived in that world of unforgiveness. He lived in that world of rage, violence, and anger. So somebody hurling those mean things at him was nothing to him. That's how he lived. He was completely possessed by demons. So anyway, all of a sudden an older gentleman gets up there, and he says, "Mr. Ridgway, you have hurt so many people in this courtroom by your actions." He said, "And many people here are wishing for your total demise." He said, "But I don't." He says, "The Bible tells me in God's word that I have to forgive everybody." He said, "And as hard as it may be, he said, "because the Bible tells me so, I forgive you, sir." And when he said that serial killer looked down, and immediately tears started flowing down his face, and he tried to cover his face to cover his tears. That was the power. That was the moment that forgiveness struck this hardened criminal's heart, because he heard words that he had not heard. "I forgive you." That's how powerful forgiveness is. That's how powerful it is.
Wow.
It's amazing. And, you know, Janet, I know that you and – yes. And I know you and I have done jail ministry, prison ministry. I've done juvenile detention ministry. And some of the most powerful times that we had with these incarcerated people was when we taught on forgiveness. And when they began to forgive, and probably the reason they were in jail was probably stemmed from unforgiveness for something that happened in their past. which led them there. Some of the most powerful times in jail were when we talked on that. Can you agree?
I would. So, Elke, what we're saying is that unforgiveness is most likely the result of being hurt, rejected, abandoned, abused, and misused. I had a student. He was a horrible student. He was in ninth grade, and he was reading on a third grade level. But he was one of those tough kids, just tough. But he wouldn't get my class. He would never cut my class. He said, "Oh, I got to go to Miss Taylor's class because I showed him love." I would put him at a desk beside my desk, and I would give him third grade work, and I would, you know, help him as best I could, and I kept him close to me. So
yes.
He was street hardened if I ever saw hardened, but he had this love for his teacher, his fourth period English teacher, Miss Taylor. And so
wow.
I remember that ended up in prison. He killed someone. And I went to his deposition. I gave a deposition for him. And I remember when he was, he got sentenced. He was the youngest person on death row. And he was only 15, 16 years old. And so I went to visit him. And he told me, I asked him about his father. And he told mm-hmm. me that he met his father when he was 10 years old. And he mm-hmm. said he was so happy to finally meet his father. And when he met his father, he said he jumped on him and he embraced him and he was so happy. And he just gave him this big hug. He said, and the man pushed him off of him, like, "Get away from me." And that crushed him.
Oh,
that crushed him. And that's what hardened him. That's what hurt him, and that's what hardened him until he reached the point where he committed murder. And even when he went to prison, I tried to visit him. I tried to help him. But he was even in prison, you know, raping men and doing things he had not. He had not reached a point where he could forgive. He was hardened by an incident that happened to him at the age of 10.
That left an indelible mark on him.
Yes, it did.
So just like you said, Janet, unforgiveness is the result of being hurt, being rejected, being abandoned, disappointment, being abused, being raped, being molested, being taken advantage of, being lied on, being cheated on, being talked about. And, you know, there's not a person on this planet that hasn't experienced that. We've all experienced something out of these categories. We've been victims of something, you know. And
yes.
It leads to and just like you were saying, Janet, unforgiveness, if it's left unchecked in your life and not dealt with, it opens up several more spirits, because unforgiveness is a spirit, and it will open up more spirits to the door. Unforgiveness is a doorkeeper. It's the big gate opener for all these other spirits to come in. And you know,
it's going to open up many other doors to other spirits to come through. It's going to open up the door of bitterness. It'll open up the door of hatred. It'll open up sadisticness, you know, where people become perverted and they actually start liking pain, the sadomasochism. It will open up the door to many other unclean spirits. And so this is why unforgiveness has to be dealt with. Now, you know, it is unfortunate when we're children, parents have taught their kids, if somebody hits you, hit them back. And that is just not biblical. That is not the Bible's way. The Bible says, if they smite you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. But children are taught from a very young age, get them before they get you. Or if they get you, you got to get them back. So we have to, all of that is rooted in unforgiveness. All of that is rooted in unforgiveness.
Absolutely. So I just want to talk about real quick the other spirits that come in when you have unforgiveness, if you leave it unchecked. You said bitterness and hatred, rage, violence, resentment, temper, anger, and retaliation. I've been a victim of temper and anger, retaliation, resentment. I've been violent before. I've had hatred, I've had all of that in my heart at one time. I was one of these kids that I had to listen to my grandfather and my dad. You know, you had to beat somebody to make a name for yourself. You know what I mean? Like, that's how they were raised, you know. And they would tell me stories of how they were such a man and beat this one up and beat that one up. And I just thought it was great to beat somebody up. I thought, you know, that's awesome. And I'm a girl. I'm a female. And I just thought, somebody makes you mad, you just slap them. Go to their head. You know, I mean, that's, that's kind of what it was glamorized in the storytelling. So I thought, you know, you're really somebody else if you can beat somebody. So you see how it gets twisted. So as soon as somebody makes me mad, I want to slap them growing up. And I did. And henceforth, the principal's office. I was a regular, you know.
Okay.
So
all of this.
To the principals personally.
Yes. All of this leads to other things. Now, I want to talk just for a minute about this violence, because we're seeing a lot of violence in amongst young people today. And we wonder why these young people are so violent. Why are they going in these schools shooting up innocent people? Why is there so much black-on-black crime? Why are there so many gang-related deaths and murders? Why is all this gunfire, you know, and retaliation and gang turfs and this, that, and the other? Where is this violence coming from? I believe, Elkie, that it is coming out of the spirit of rage. The violence is coming from rage. The rage is coming from hurt. Yes. I do believe this is why we're seeing, and it's increasing. But I found out something, and I know it was the Lord that made me realize it. We often talk about girls that are raised without their fathers. And we see the devastating, there's been so much research that's been done. We see the devastating effects of young girls that have been raised without their fathers. Elkie, I believe it has the same effect on young men, on these young boys. They have the same rage. They have the same hurt. They deal with the same rejection, and they end up committing the same violence.
Yes. Isn't that sad?
Yes. So fatherhood is extremely important.
Yes.
Fatherhood is extremely important. A boy growing up with his father is just as important as a girl growing up with her father.
And it just can breed that resentment, can grow into bitterness, grow into, you know, anger and retaliation, and just, you know, you can just see a huge stronghold forming, and it all starts with unforgiveness. You know, and it's one thing, Janet, it's one thing to forgive people who have talked about you, you know, behind your back, or, you know, maybe they didn't pay you back on the loan and you've had to let it go because you know you're never going to get your money and they betrayed you or they lied about you. You know, you can forgive them, and it's hard, but you can do it. But there's levels of forgiveness. You know, when people embezzle thousands of dollars from you, or people smear your name through town, or, you know, wrongfully sue you, or kill your best friend, or kill your mom. You know, I mean, there's so many different levels. It's hard, but Jesus with all he went through, if he says you can forgive, if he forgave, amen.
Amen. Now, Elkie, let's talk about how unforgiveness affects our physical body.
Absolutely. You know, unforgiveness will cause bitterness. And when you have unforgiveness and bitterness in your life, it can attack your physical body. It can cause arthritis and cancer. And how do I say that, Janet? How do we say that we know that unforgiveness can cause arthritis and cancer? Because there's documented cases, and we've seen people get healed from a spirit of infirmity when they forgave.
And Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4 says, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old. That was David speaking about when he had sinned with Bathsheba and how he didn't come clean and confess it. And he kept silent about how he had had Uriah killed for 2 years because Bathsheba got pregnant and that child was 2 years old when it died. And so he kept silent about this sin for 2 years, but he said when he kept silent, his bones waxed old. I do believe that that is where the spirit of infirmity came in. I believe that
yes.
David experienced arthritis in his
yes.
body because he had not repented of that sin.
And, you know, when Jesus went around healing people, there were times where he would heal somebody that was crippled or diseased, and he would just simply heal them. But there were other times where he cast out a spirit of infirmity. So that meant a demon was causing that disease. And we definitely have seen that when people have walked in forgiveness, they repented of certain sins, that spirit of infirmity was cast out and they were healed. Praise the Lord. But on the
Amen.
Scientific front, that's from the spiritual standpoint, on the science resulting from offense, from being offended, stress
uh-huh.
is associated with decreased mental health. And we all know that stress can kill you. When I first heard that, Janet, when people were like, stress can kill you, I thought, oh, you're so ridiculous. Stress don't kill anybody, you know? But when you think about the organs and the heart and everything that stress and anxiety and being offended and having your feelings hurt and having mental health, mental issues, stress can kill you. And then you
yes.
have, on the scientific front, unforgiveness from personal transgressions, for not forgiving yourself. That will increase levels of guilt, shame, and regret, which also negatively impacts your mental health as well.
And doctors have already, there have been studies that show that people that had these chronic disorders in their bodies, that they could not find any source of it. They could not
yep.
find the root cause of it. And they knew it was unforgiveness. So doctors have started to realize the spiritual aspect of many sicknesses and diseases that are rooted in unforgiveness.
Yep. And if you ever notice with any type of, you know, I was watching Dr. Phil the other day. I was just passing time, and I was at my mom's house. And Dr. Phil or whoever it is that's trying to help the person that's afflicted, they always say, tell me about your childhood, because there's so many answers. When you dig back into their childhood, they're looking for the root cause of why this person is reacting the way they are. And
yes.
you know that these children, the things that they are exposed to, the rejection, just like that 10-year-old boy wanting love from his father, it starts
yep.
as early as in the womb. In the womb, a child can know that there's a spirit of rejection attached to them if they were unwanted in the womb.
Amen.
You know, it can start in the womb.
All right, Elkie, what do you say to someone who says, well, I'll forgive them, but I ain't going to forget it?
Yeah. I've heard that so many times when you tell people that they need to forgive, that their prayers will be hindered. I told one lady, she was praying for her, her daughter had stomach cancer. And she was saying, Elkie, please pray for my daughter. I said, yes, ma'am, I will. And she said, her husband, and she went on and on and on, and I won't forgive him for the way he's been, and my daughter's been going through this, and I just can't stomach him. And I said, ma'am, I said, if you want the Lord to hear your prayers, you're going to have to walk in forgiveness. You're going to have to forgive him. I said, your daughter needs a miracle, and God won't hear your prayers with that hatred that you have for him. And you know what she did? She told me she had never seen that in the Bible. And I said, well, it's in there. I couldn't quote the scripture right away, Janet. I said, it's in there. I said, if you give me time, I'll look it up. And she said, well, you see the Bible the way you want to see the Bible, and I see it the way I will. Goodbye, and slammed the phone down. 2 minutes earlier, she was telling me she loved me. But as soon as I told her she needed to forgive, that demon in her came out and attacked me, and all of a sudden I found myself being loved 1 minute and hung up on the next. You know, but I told her the truth.
But, yes, you did.
When you say you forgive, but you can't forget, you know, you won't forget what was done to you. Let's say that you were molested by a family member. Let's say you were molested by your own father or whatever situation it was. When you say, I forgive him, you're going to always have that memory of what was done to you. But when you truly say, God, I forgive him, I wish him no harm, I pray that he comes to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that you open your eyes. I pray that he realizes what he's done and that he repents for this, and I release him to you, and I forgive him, God. When you say that, even if the feelings are not there, over time, when that memory comes up of what happened to you, the pain that was associated with that will not be there anymore because God has helped you get over it. He's healed you from it, you know?
I had to go through what you just described. I was molested by a family member when I was a child. And for many years, I hated this family member. And then I did reach a point where I began having nightmares concerning this individual. He was trying to kill me, and I was trying to kill him. And I had to make a choice. I could continue allowing what happened to me to torment me, or I could forgive. I chose to forgive. I was not saved. I was not born again. I did not know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But I forgave him. And years later, he got saved. And when he got saved, I attended his baptism. And when he came up out the water, when they baptized him and submerged him, and he came up out the water, I began to shout. I just began to shout, hallelujah, because I had seen God save a child molester. And I had the opportunity to confront him one time. And I asked him, did he remember what he did to me? Because so many people try to pretend that they don't know what you're talking about. And he said he did remember. And I said, well, what were you thinking all these years when you would see me at family gatherings? He said he thought how sick he was. He was a sick individual. And so I didn't try to deal with that part, but I did forgive him. I didn't try to deal with him being a sick individual. That, to me, was between him and God. But I did forgive him. And
praise God.
When he passed away, the Lord told me when to go to his house. And I went and I prayed for him. And not many days after that, he passed away. And I ended up preaching his funeral. So I know that forgiveness is possible. And it got so that when I looked at him, I felt no more pain. No more pain.
Wow.
No more pain. No more pain.
and it led him to Christ.
Did I ever forget what he did to me? Never. But I forgave him. I forgave him,
yes.
And the Lord took the pain away.
Absolutely. And that shows that your forgiveness was complete because you preached his funeral. You know what I mean? Like, it's a complete thing. Forgiveness,
yes,
is saying, Lord, I forgive, and the next opportunity that I have, I will let that person know I forgave them. That's the second step. I'll let them know that I forgave them. You know, it's like it happens in stages, and every time you get more free and more free and more healed and more healed. I'm feeling led right now that this may be a message for somebody, Janet, to tell a quick story about a young man I met, because he has a similar story. When he was maybe 7 years old, he was at church. This is in another state, across, you know, in the West. We're on the East Coast. This was the West Coast. Anyway, 7 years old, his grandfather had died. And there was an older man at their church that everybody loved and respected. And this old man kind of, you know, took him under his wing and tried to be like a grandpa to him because he saw this little boy was sad. And this was a family friend. They ate after Sunday school and church. You know, they had dinners and everything. Well, this young boy began to trust him, and they all went for a hike after church one Sunday. And so the older man said, hey, let's go down this path, and we'll meet up with your parents and your other siblings, but let's go down this way, and we'll meet y'all like a gang. So pretty soon they get to a remote spot, and this man makes an advance, you know, at the little boy, and he's innocent. He doesn't know, but, you know, it's like, show me yours, I'll show you, however, you know, just get the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And this began a thing. Don't you tell anybody. Don't you tell anybody, because I'll get in trouble. We'll both get in trouble. That's just our secret. And then this man began to groom him, give him games, Xboxes, and things like that. And this goes on, and each time, now this man is exposing him to pornographic material, homosexual pornographic material, and this is escalating, and he's getting gifts. And if you tell anybody, I'll kill myself. So then the man's master manipulator, like, you don't want me to die. He said, and I began to love this man because I saw him as a father figure. He said, and I didn't know what I was doing was wrong. He said, I felt bad about it and shameful. He said, but at the same time, it felt good. You know, so he's confused. And so this went on for some time. And he said, when he got to be about maybe 12 or 13, he told the abuser, he said, so does this mean I'm gay? And the abuser said, that's your choice. And he said, well, I don't want to be gay. I like girls. He said, well, that's your choice. And this abuser, you know, ended up leaving him alone. So this guy goes all his life. Now he's attracted to this young girl he sees at youth camp, and he ends up getting married to her. They date for a while, and he dates her, and he gets married. And so during their marriage, he starts having this propensity to go to these places where he could watch real nasty pornography, you know, gay pornography and things like that. And he is having these desires, which even though he's married and he's saved, he did give his heart to the Lord, he was still struggling with this demonic spirit that was still in him, this spirit of perversion. And so his wife was like, where are you? And finally she found out, and she said, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get delivered from this, we're not going to stay married. So they sought deliverance. They got deliverance and counseling. And anyway, and plus this young guy, when he was in his teens, he was molesting other younger boys because he was like, well, you know, this was done to me, so I'm going to do it to somebody else. Well, anyway, when he gets saved and he gets married to this girl, he gets on fire for God, and God tells him, you must forgive this abuser. So he looked this man up and wrote him a long letter and sent it to him and basically said, I forgive you for what you did to me. It was very wrong. And he gave them the plan of salvation. And do you know, long story short, this man admitted that he was sorry. He felt terrible about what he did. It had haunted him all his life. That he was raped in the military, and that because of that, at an early age, he began his stuff that he was doing, you know, this perversion.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He said, through me forgiving him, that man in his 70s came to Christ Jesus. So what a miracle.
Amen.
But this young man had to get set free by forgiving the abuser, because it's a shame to rob anybody of their innocence like that. And you can't get that innocence back. And here this healthy boy in church of all places, you could see this guy had to do total forgiveness or he'd say, I'm not going to any church. You know, he had to see the bigger picture here. This happened to him from a church member. You know, and this is how sick of a world we live in. But this guy forgave, and it was complete, and it set him free and got the abuser saved, just like what happened in your story, Janet. Powerful. Forgiveness is powerful.
And what the Bible says, it didn't say these things would not happen to us and that they were not horrible things. But Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. God is the only person who can take the good, the bad, and the ugly and bring something beautiful out of it, which is a saved soul. So we thank the Lord that the young man, he got delivered, he got saved and delivered, and then he reached back for that old man, and that man got saved. Now, we got to give God some praise, because there's somebody listening to this broadcast tonight, Elgie, who is struggling. They're right there on the crust. They're there. They said, this happened to me. I've gone through that. I am struggling with how to forgive. It's simple. You just forgive them. It is an act of will. You say, I forgive them. And they don't have to come to you and say, will you forgive me? They don't necessarily have to even apologize to you. But you have to forgive them so that you can be free. See, forgiveness is not even about the other person. Forgiveness is for the victim so that the victim can be free. Glory be to God.
Somebody's
listening tonight who has been victimized, and you are so bound up because, first of all, the enemy has made you to believe that you're the only person who's ever been through that. That's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And then the enemy could be telling you that it was your fault and that you should be ashamed for allowing this to happen. Zephaniah 3:17 says God wants to take away your shame. Glory be to God. So we're talking about forgiveness tonight. This is what Jesus did on the cross. He forgave humanity of our sins. He said, Father, forgive them. That included me, you, Elkie, everybody who has sinned, and even our future sins. That includes everybody who will sin. Glory be to God. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now you think about that. If people knew how they were ruining somebody else's life, I don't think people would do half of what they're doing today. People just well, hey, this is what I like. It makes me feel good. But they're not looking at this is going to ruin this child's life.
Self-gratification.
It's self-gratification. So what we want to do tonight is bring somebody through tonight. We want you to know that you are not the only person that it happened to. And just like we have been given the opportunity, I have been given the opportunity to forgive. You can forgive too. This can be your testimony tonight. I listened to this broadcast, and through this broadcast, I was able to forgive. Not because Elkie and I are saying it, but it's because of the word of God. The word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the name of Jesus is all that we need. And we just want to present that to you tonight. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes. All right, so we know that forgiveness is mandatory. It's a command by Jesus. Would you talk about that, Elkie?
Yes, and I want to say this too. When you forgive and you say, but I won't forget, the word but right there is like, I forgive, but I won't forget it. So it's kind of showing that, there's still some of this anger attached to it. But when Jesus forgives us, it says that he puts our sins as far as from the east is from the west and remembers them no more. So isn't it wonderful that when we go back up to the Lord and we say, God, please forgive me for talking about my coworker. And aren't you glad Jesus doesn't say, well, you did it last week and you did it five times the week before that. How many times are you going to ask for forgiveness? Jesus don't even bring up all the other times that you talked about your coworker. He's forgiven you right then because you've asked and with a sincere heart, help me to do better. He's not sitting there saying, well, back in 1998, you did this and you did that. He has let that go. He has washed it under the precious blood that he shed for us. So at the same time, it's not good for me to bring up things that my husband did or did not do 10 years ago, because that's the past, Janet, and I cannot get those years back. Whether I was treated fair, whether I was whatever injustice that was done to me, I cannot get those years back. I have to love my husband where he is right now. I have
and the scripture tells us
as if exactly. Mm-hmm.
The scripture tells us that love keeps no record of wrongs. Love
doesn't
have an accounting book, and love doesn't open that book and say, "Well, you did this and you did this and you did that." Love doesn't operate that. When we forgive, it should be done away with. The same way as when Jesus forgives us, it's done away. It's never to be remembered anymore.
Exactly. Because when I would bring up the past, it was like the Lord wasn't pleased with that because I'm opening old wounds. I have to let that go.
Yes.
I can't get those years back and say, you should have done this or you should have done that or you should have helped me more or you made my life harder at this time. Those years are over. I have to love him where he is now. And let that go.
Amen.
And when that happens, restoration comes, healing comes, emotional healing comes, and you've opened up the door to the blessings, and you have broken that stronghold in your life. Glory be to God. So many things happen just when you say, I forgive. And why is it mandatory? Can we visit the cross for a minute, the crucifixion, Janet?
Amen.
Okay. So let's think about the cross. Let's all go back. And Easter, you know, Resurrection Sunday was just a couple of weeks ago. But let's think about this. Jesus, who was sinless, was arrested. He was severely flogged. His skin was ripped open, 39 lashes on his back by a cat of nine tails whip, which had the metal shards in them, which ripped his skin open every time he was whipped to expose muscle, tissue, and bone, not to mention blood. He lost so much blood, it was unbelievable. He was marred beyond human recognition. He had to endure the shame. He had to carry this cross uphill, because no matter where you are in Israel, if you're in Jerusalem, you are going uphill at some point because it's on a mountain. Carry this rugged cross in this horrible condition. While he hears everybody shouting insults at him, spitting at him, mocking at him, and just a few days earlier they said, Hosanna in the highest, giving praise to him. And now they're shouting, crucify him, hating him, only to be put on a cross and nailed to a cross with these huge stakes through his wrists, through his feet. And if that wasn't enough, they made a crown of thorns and pushed him in his head. And Pontius Pilate had a sign that said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And that was written in three different languages, Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew, so that everybody that came would know and be able to read it in the language. This is what we think of Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Complete mockery. And if that wasn't enough, you know, a lot of the pictures depict him in a loincloth, but we know, and there's proof, that first century Roman crucifixion was known for public humiliation. And if he had been naked, that would have maximized his humiliation. So there's a good chance that he could have done that completely naked. I'm not saying that dogmatically. I'm just saying there is a chance. But he had to do this and be humiliated in front of his mama, his relatives, his contemporaries, and the onlookers. And, you know, if that wasn't enough, the soldiers cast lots for his clothes. And I ran across this information the other day that really explained something and took this to a whole new level for me. It broke my heart. Now, we know that Roman crucifixion remains as one of the most brutal forms of execution in history. And in Israel, you can visit the remains of public Roman bathhouses. I saw these bathhouses, Janet. I don't know if you did when you went to Israel, but I saw at a place called Bet Shean, a Roman bathhouse, public bathhouse. Mm-hmm. And what it is, it's this long row of stone seats where the hole cut out, and underneath is running water that would flow back in that time. And the running water would flow, and in front of the toilets was a trench that had running water and a mixture of salt and vinegar for sanitation. You see, there was no such thing as toilet paper then, so we can praise the Lord right now and thank God for Charmin toilet paper. I am so glad I did not live back then, aren't you?
Amen.
Okay, but in these trenches, there was a sponge from the Mediterranean Sea, and attached to it was, at the end of it, was a stick. And after each use, when people were cleansing themselves, it was dipped into this trench to sanitize it for the next lucky person. Go ahead and say, ew. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? In John 19, you know, there's different times where Jesus was offered drink. In the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it talks about they went to give Jesus wine mixed with gall. So Jesus refused that drink. That was in the three Gospels because gall was like a pain reducer, a painkiller. Not only did it taste bitter, but it would have reduced some of the pain that he was enduring. And Jesus was like, no, I'm going to take it full force. So he did reject it that time when they offered him that. But now he's on his last few breaths, and he says, I am thirsty. And we find this in John chapter 19. So when he says this, the guards that were there, they took a hyssop stick. Now think this, the hyssop stick in the Old Testament was used for ceremonial cleansing of sin. And that's what they used, the hyssop branch, to put over the doorpost in Egypt. You know, they killed
that's
a lamb,
they put the blood.
Sacrificed
yeah,
a lamb. Yep,
yeah.
They took the blood from the lamb, they ate the whole lamb, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. Remember when Jesus says that? They had to eat the whole lamb, and then the hyssop stick was dipped in the blood of the lamb and put over the doorpost, which saved them from the death angel. So
yeah.
Here these guards take a hyssop stick for ceremonial cleansing of sin, and they attach a sponge to it, and they dip it in a jar, and they hold it up to the Messiah. Now, some of the accounts in the commentaries, it'll say that soldiers would drink cheap wine during this time, during a crucifixion, because, you know, it took 6 hours for the crucifixion to take place. But, Janet, you know that there was a jar with a stick and a sponge for the excrement. There was an excrement-filled jar for sanitation.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot say for sure that when they held up this stick with that sponge, can you imagine Jesus don't know what he's getting ready to drink? Because I'm sure they did have cheap wine to drink. But there was also, if you're going to have men there, you're going to have a way to cleanse yourself if you have to go to the bathroom, because you're going to be there more than 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way they put that sponge, and they had to have a sponge from somewhere. You know, they had to have a sponge handy, and they used that. So it's almost like, here's what we think about you when you say you're thirsty. Can you imagine what went through his head? Can you imagine the way they presented that to him? Now, as cruel as they had been on the cross to him, do you think that all of a sudden they had mercy for him and they're going to actually give him something to drink? I doubt it. So that's what my Savior had to look at. Whether it was excrement-filled sponge or not, he didn't know. And they're handing that up to him. Can you imagine?
Oh,
just let that soak in. Just let that soak in as a final act before he gives up his ghost. And you know what he said? He could barely breathe. He could barely breathe. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
The ultimate forgiveness. The ultimate. So, Janet, I mean, when we think about how powerful that was and how we say, well, I ain't forgiven so-and-so. I got a right to be mad. They hurt me, and I'll never forgive them. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, we are never going to say that we're not going to forgive anybody, because that's the whole basis of our salvation. Jesus said,
Amen.
Freely you have received, you freely give. And he means everything you've received from him, you got for free, you give it for free. And that
Amen.
Includes forgiveness. It's the whole basis for why we are saved. He went to the cross for forgiveness. That's why don't tell me that you're going to call yourself a Christian and have unforgiveness in your heart, because it'll keep you from heaven. It will keep you from heaven, because Jesus said, if you don't forgive men their sins, I will not forgive you.
Amen. So
and
that
then
was
there's
good.
Yes, yeah, so there's a couple more. Can I go over one more point?
Sure.
We have time? Okay.
Sure.
So if anybody has their Bible, if they'll turn to Matthew chapter 4, and if it's okay, Janet, would you like to read it, or I can? I have it right here.
I'm here. Matthew chapter 4, what verse?
1 through 11.
All right.
We're going to go back to where Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. Okay.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Okay, so we see at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when the Holy Spirit sends him out to the desert for the main purpose to be tempted by God, by the devil, okay? Notice that the tempter didn't come to him on day 10 of the fast. He didn't come to him on day 25 of the fast. He came to Jesus when he was at his weakest moment. 40 days he had been without water or drink or food. The very weakest. And this is what the enemy does to us. He'll come to us at our very weakest moment and whisper something in our ear to just totally tear up our faith. But he says to Jesus, prove yourself, because he says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. And then again he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. It says that the angels will pick you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then he says, all this I'll give you if you will bow down and worship me. So he's saying, prove who you are. Prove who you are by doing a sign. Prove it, prove it. If you really are Jesus, Son of God, prove it, prove it, prove it. Now let's turn over to Luke chapter 23. Here we are 3 years after he's ministered. He's at the very end of his life on the cross. He's at the weakest point of his life.
Mm-hmm.
No energy, hardly no blood in his body. It said the tongue of his mouth was stuck to the roof of his mouth, and that was prophesied in Isaiah that his tongue would be like clay up on the roof of his mouth. Let's
mm-hmm.
turn to Luke 23 and read 32 through 43. Would you like to read that?
Sure. And
okay.
There was also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, saying, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Okay, so here we go, the weakest point of his life, right before he gives up the ghost. And what happens again? Three different times, he's tempted to prove who he is. He says, if you're Christ, save yourself. If he's the Christ of God, the chosen one, save yourself. And that came from the people who were watching and the rulers. Then the soldiers, the second group, mocked him and said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And then the third one came from one of the criminals beside him. Aren't you the Christ? Then save yourself. So it's amazing to me, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he's tempted by the enemy when he's weakest. And here at the last part of his ministry, in his death, three more times, who are you? Prove it. You saved others, but you can't save yourself. And in 1 minute, he could have said, Father, let's just prove it to them. Let's wipe everybody out. They all deserved it. You know, just let me give them a sign and scare them half to death. He could have said, Father, I just can't take it. It's too much. But no, he didn't. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
So, Janet, I don't have a right to say I'm not forgiving anybody. I don't have that right. If I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be forgiving everybody every day. Before I say, when I go to say my prayers, I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me, and I thank you that I forgive everybody. That's going to be part of my prayer every day. Lord, I forgive
Amen.
Everybody. I'm not going to harbor not one ounce of bitterness and unforgiveness. Ain't nobody got time for that. And I want to be loving on people, and I don't want to have the first stronghold in my life of unforgiveness. I don't,
Amen.
And I don't have a right to. If we're Christians, we've got to forgive. Amen.
Amen.
If our Heavenly Father can do it, we can do it.
Amen.
And that's how we can even call him Heavenly Father, is because he forgave us. So.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
And Jesus, he experienced every emotion that we ever will have. He was betrayed, lied on, rejected, abused, hurt, abandoned, disappointed, ridiculed, mocked. He was being talked about, beaten, spit upon. Every emotion, every negative emotion he suffered on that cross, humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And so
one of the things that Jesus said, he says now, he said, I forgive them. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you can't help but look at the cross when he says that. And this is what was said in the Old Testament. When the children of Israel were going through the wilderness and they began to murmur and complain, God allowed fiery serpents to bite them. And many of them died. And then he told Moses to take his rod and put it up on this pole. And he said he had made a brass serpent, and he told them to put it up on this pole. And he said, when they look at this brass serpent upon this pole, they won't die. That was symbolic of the cross. And so what is the Lord saying to us today? For people who say, but I just can't do it. I just can't forgive. You don't know what they did to me. Look at the cross. You
Amen.
Can forgive when you look at the cross, because when you look at the cross, whatever you have been through or are going through pales in comparison to the cross, to Jesus' suffering on that cross. So when you think, I just can't forgive them, just look at the cross. Just look at the cross. Glory be to God. How Jesus suffered, bled, and died. Just look at the cross. And your whole outlook will change.
And Janet,
your whole outlook will change about what you're going through. Because it's always me, 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 me. And when you look at that cross, it can no longer be me, 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 but it's him, him, him. Look at the cross. Look at Christ on the cross. And you'll stop murmuring. You'll stop belly aching. You'll stop complaining. And you'll stop feeling sorry for yourself in comparison to what Jesus Christ went through.
When I go do communion now, that's the first thing I say, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me, and I thank you that I forgive everybody. I make sure there's no unforgiveness in my heart, or I'm not going to do communion that day. It's sacred. It's a sacred thing. When we go to do communion, because he said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and remember this every time. Remember what he did. It was all forgiveness. That is the central message of the whole gospel of salvation, is forgiveness. He first forgave us. I also feel led to say, what do you do? There may be somebody out there that's saying, well, what if somebody won't forgive me? Like, I've asked for forgiveness, and they won't forgive me, and they throw it in my face. Every time they get around me, they throw it in my face. Can I give you an example? There was a minister that said that she said that she had a messed up life. She was molested by her own father, and she was pretty much raped by her own father repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother turned a blind eye to it. Her mother knew about it and didn't. So that's double. That's like a double betrayal. She was scared of him. He beat her, and she grew up with this. And because of that, she was very angry. She ended up giving her heart to Christ. And she had a family. She was married. And she said, although she was saved, because it took years for her to work out this forgiveness, and the abuse done to her. She said she has regrets about how she raised her kids because she was struggling. She was still messed up somewhat. And she said her oldest son held it against her every time he'd get around her. And she had said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I don't know if she wrote his case too much or she was just angry or whatever it was, but he would throw it up in her face and she would cry and cry and cry. And she was like, Lord, I have asked forgiveness and he will not forgive me. You know, what do I do with that? And it hurts me so bad. And she prayed about it. And this is what the Lord showed her to do. She went to her son the next time he brought it up and she said, son, I've prayed about it. God has forgiven me and I've asked you to forgive me. She said, and God has put that out of my past. She said, I raised you. I was still messed up. She said, and you're going to have to forgive me. And if you don't, she said, you're going to have to go to the same God that helped me walk in forgiveness for my father as you are for me. She said, you go to the same God who healed me to heal you from that unforgiveness. And she said, but no longer will I allow you to hurt me with your words. They will not penetrate because God has forgiven me, and I'm releasing you from hurting me. And you know that boy got saved and gave his heart to the Lord and is in full-time ministry. He forgave his mom. But she said, you will not. Mm-hmm. You will not make me feel guilty anymore or bring shame to me because God has set me free. I'm not even going to allow you to hurt me anymore. And he stopped. He stopped. So there's a choice where when somebody keeps bringing it up, you just say, I'm not hearing it anymore. I said, I'm sorry, and there's nothing I can do to bring the past back and change it. You're just going to have to go to God, just like I did, to get free.
Amen.
So maybe that might set somebody free tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe that might set someone free. But we have a prayer before we close tonight. If that is anyone out there that needs to let go of this unforgiveness, we'll have you confess and repeat this prayer after I speak it, and you will be free. Whom the Son set free is free indeed.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you right now for what you're doing on this segment tonight, God, how you're ministering. Hallelujah. God, we didn't know who was going to need what tonight, but God, you knew.
Yes.
You knew who was going to tune in. You knew who was going to need this message of forgiveness tonight. And God, like Elkie said, there may be somebody tonight who has already repented to another person, and they've just still been hanging on to it and still trying to hold that individual hostage to their past. God, the truth of the matter is we can't go back and undo nothing we have ever said or done.
That's right. That's
the
right,
The only
Lord.
Thing we can do is bring it to you, God. And so tonight we lift these individuals up to you.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus, we lift the past hurt. We lift the pain.
Yes.
We lift it all up to you, God, in the name of Jesus. For you are the Lord that healeth us. And you sent your word and healed all our disease. So we trust you with the physical pain. We trust you with the emotional hurts and pain. And, God, we trust you with our hearts tonight. We trust you to heal the areas that need to be healed. God, somebody needed this message tonight. This was somebody's breaking point tonight. And we just thank you. We thank you,
Lord.
Almighty God. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for Elkie. Thank you for how she delivered the message so clearly, God. It is so clear what the individual needs to do, and that is simply forgive. And God, your word is clear. Once we forgive, what you will do. When we forgive, you will forgive us, oh God. and heal us. You said in your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. See, that's the part of forgiveness that people are leaving out in these churches. We have to turn from our wicked ways. It's not enough just to say, I'm sorry. We have to actually turn from that. Glory be to God. And you said if we would turn from our wicked ways, then you would hear from heaven and you would forgive our sins and heal our land. So, God, it's just in that order. We've got to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face. And then you will do the rest, God. But we've got to turn from our wicked ways. So tonight, God, we turn from unforgiveness. We turn from bitterness. We turn from it, oh, God. We turn from the hurt and from the betrayal. We turn from the abandonment. We turn from it, God. We turn from the violence and from the rage and from the bitterness. Oh, God, we turn from it. We just turn from it, God, and we just lay it all down again at the feet of the cross. We just look to you, Jesus. We can't do this on our own. We can't do this in our own strength. So we look to the cross.
Yes, God, thank you, Jesus.
We look to the cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
And this is how we are able to forgive. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. Glory be to God. In Jesus' mighty name. Pray, Elkie.
I would like for anyone to repeat this after me. If you're ready to forgive, just make this confession right now. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I loose myself from all unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. I loose to God those who have offended me or hurt me in any way. I loose myself from all spirits of infirmity as a result of my bitterness. I close that door in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Forgiveness is so powerful. Father, I just thank you for each and every listener tonight, God. I know that you have spoken to people tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that a huge weight has been lifted and the strongholds are being demolished as we speak, Lord, as they release forgiveness in their life to the individuals that have hurt them deeply, Lord, that you begin to cleanse those wounds and heal those wounds, Lord, deep-seated wounds, God. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the power to overcome because Jesus overcame death, sin, and the grave, and he gave us the comforter and the helper and our God, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us that is helping us to forgive. We have help from on high, Lord. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit that lives and indwells inside of us and gives us the power to overcome. Lord, your word says that we will be more than conquerors, Father. That it don't get any better than that, more than a conqueror. Lord Jesus, we thank you of what your blood purchased for us at Calvary, that you redeemed us from the pit, God. We thank you, Lord, that we have a wonderful inheritance. We are co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you sit on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, dear God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that mighty things can be done through the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you that we are God's children. Lord, we thank you that we have the power to forgive. And we exercise that free will now, and we say, I forgive everybody, Lord, because you first forgave us. We love you, and we praise you, Lord, and I thank you for each and every person to be set free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In your precious name we pray and ask these things and believe we've received them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I just
put a praise
somebody
on it.
Chains are falling off of them, just chains breaking. Chains
yes,
breaking.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Chains are breaking. Hallelujah. Glory
thank
be to
you,
God.
Jesus.
Oh, Shatara Raboko. Dia Kata. Shiandria. Robo Shake. Man or woman of God. The Lord is saying, be free. Be free. Be free in Jesus' name. Your chains have been broken. And you are no longer bound, but you are free, free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your chains have been broken, broken off your mind, broken off your heart, broken off your body. The pain that you once felt, you will no longer feel that anymore. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we praise your holy name tonight. Glory and honor, majesty, dominion, and power. It all belongs to you, Jesus. And we bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. For God has given you a name that is highly exalted above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God has given us spiritual weapons of warfare. Glory be to God to defeat the enemy. And our greatest weapon is the blood of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord tells us in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You need to testify tonight, I am healed in Jesus' name. You need to tell somebody, I got healed tonight. I am no longer a victim. Glory be to God in the highest. I am healed in Jesus' name. So our greatest weapons are the blood, the word, and the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The word of the Lord is sharper than a two-edged sword. When Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, he did not argue with him. The Bible says he simply gave him the word. It is written.
Yes,
you got to know the word. You got to have the word.
Yes.
That means the enemy is not going to try to bring this back to you, but you got to have the word in you. Hallelujah.
The power is in the word.
Glory
the power of deliverance is in the word.
Yes. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest.
And I keep seeing somebody who is finally getting free from unforgiveness. I just keep feeling like the Lord is saying that in the morning when you wake up, you are going to know that there is a change. You're going to know it when you wake up in the morning. You're going to know it. You have willed yourself to forgive, but in the morning, it is a new day, and you're going to know that you know the chains are broken. You're going to know it when you wake up. I don't know how God's going to show you, but you are going to wake up a new person in the morning. You're going
to
know
it. Glory be to God in the highest.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Yeah, we don't even have to know. We don't have to know how God does a thing.
That's right.
We just have to believe that he is who he said he is. Glory be to God, and he will do what he said he will do.
They're going to know there is a change that has taken place. The weights have been taken off. And that stronghold is being demolished in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're going to feel lighter and more joyful. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So we thank the Lord for everybody that tuned in tonight. We thank the Lord for this opportunity Elkie and I have been given to share this message. That's why, Elkie, I know how powerful this message was. And I just said, we just need to bring this on the broadcast tonight because it's a powerful message. And people need to know that just as we've all gone through some rough things, and just as the Lord forgives us, we can forgive. We can forgive. We can forgive.
Yes, we can.
And we can be forgiven. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Somebody, like you said, somebody got set free tonight. Hey,
praise the Lord.
Somebody got free. I'm convinced. Oh, I feel it in my spirit. Somebody
praise
got
God.
Set free tonight. And
praise
so we just want to give all the glory, all the honor
to the Lord.
And we just thank you, Elke, for your obedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh,
glory to be to
thank
God.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, we thank the Lord. Hallelujah. For Apostle, just
yes, we do.
Letting us come on here and share
this. God bless
you. Because I told him what the message was about, and he was like, okay. And so he just let us come on the broadcast tonight. Hallelujah.
What a blessing.
So, God, we
what
thank
a blessing.
You. We thank you, Lord. We thank
yes, we
you,
do.
And
we
give
do.
Thy name the praise, all the glory, all the
thank
honor.
You, Jesus.
In Jesus' holy name, we have prayed.
Jesus.
Now, I'm going to close the broadcast out with the scripture. Our benediction comes from Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21. With uplifted hands, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through
Jesus
Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So God bless you, Elke. Until
God bless
the
you.
Next time, we will be back. We will be back on the air on the 26th. We'll be back on the 26th, and we just gonna wait and see what the Lord wants us to discuss, and He'll tell us, and He'll give us the message and all of the notes and everything that we need. So we just wait until we hear from the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Yes, Lord.
Amen. God bless you, Elke, and have a
God
wonderful night
too.
To all those who are listening. It's like you said, somebody's going to have a good night of sleep tonight.
Yes, they are.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Thank you so much.
Amen. Good night.
Okay. Good night.